This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel.
And we're back.
Hi.
I just wanted to grace them with my beautiful vocals.
It was beautiful.
Like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
Maybe Fergie when she was at that one basketball game singing the halftime show. Do you remember that?
Why are you wrecking me so hard? Maddie came in here and the pitch get wrecked. I'm just over here minding my business. Happy it's my birthday weekend. Oh. You know, Maddie, I've been cutting the fat out of my life lately. I watch your back. You're about to be next.
I wouldn't blame you.
I was talking about blocking the other day, and I was like, gotta block motherfuckers on Pinterest.
Literally. Like, sometimes you gotta go hard.
You gotta, like, blocking them at the grocery store.
People be
wild.
I'll eat
those to me. I'm dead. So let's talk about the strain first.
Okay. So the strain today is called Sunset Octane. It is a sativa dominant strain by crossing Sunset Sherb.
Oh, not Sunset Sherb. How random.
And High Octane OG BX3.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I feel like we've had that mixed in a few other things.
I don't know, but it's a long one.
Yeah.
It has a very good, delicious flavor, so they say. I have to try it.
Sounds interesting.
A high level of potency that's perfect for using, like, during the day so you can still feel functional. It's usually 23 to 30%. This one is 29%, and it has a sweet, tangy, citrusy flavor with, like, a spicy vanilla diesel-y aftertone similar to many other strains. And it is really good for treating chronic pain, depression, insomnia, chronic fatigue, nausea, appetite loss, chronic stress.
I do not want to treat my appetite loss at this time because it's probably for the best. It also, the name of it sounds exactly how this crystal looks.
It does. Yes.
I got this really cute. Can speak. For any of my crystal peeps out there, you'll get it. It's a pink crazy lace agate tower with jersey pockets. Go ahead and look that up, ladies and gents. Welcome. is that it? Is that the thing? Okay, sorry guys, I'm still really high from like 4 hours ago.
It is.
Before I start my story, I do have to tell you something. Today I went to Target, and at the Target dollar spot, that loud noise you just heard was me pulling out the item you cannot see but need to know about. It is a USB powered teeny tiny handheld vacuum cleaner, literally big enough for a baby, to like vacuum your desk. And I'm like, how do they know I needed something to vacuum my ash off my computer desk at all times?
Yeah.
Today's story is going to be about Brittany Drexel. She was born in Rochester, New York on October 7th, 1991 to a man named John, who was of Turkish descent, and a woman named Dawn. They were teens at the time. Her parents had not married. Shortly after Brittany was born, I don't know why I'm saying everything like this with this inflection. Dawn married Chad Drexel, who adopted Brittany at that time. And then after his military service had ended, they lived in the Rochester suburb of Chile. So some of you may have heard of this case previously. It's been covered by a lot of podcasts. Up until very recently, this was an unsolved missing persons case. There was no, I mean, I didn't really know it, like, there was a point where she was presumed dead, but there was no body, there was no anything. It was just kind of like, okay.
Unsolved.
Spoiler alert, it has since been likely solved.
I'm choking.
And about likely, I mean, yes. You good?
No. Yes.
No? Yeah.
Yes.
Do you need a sip before? Take a sip. That'll make you feel better.
Not the four sharp inflections on the audio when I coughed.
Listen, you know the listeners, they're going to be like, this bitch. But you I know, it's disrespectful. So if you look up a picture of Britney, she's so cute. She's got like the cutest 2000s vibes you've ever seen in your life. But she has really distinct, super specific looking eyes. And that's because she was born with something called persistent hyperplastic primary vitreous in her right eye that caused her to need several surgeries and then ultimately caused her to go blind. And so that eye would like tend to kind of wander because it had nothing to focus on. So she would wear these specific contact lenses, and that's what gave her eyes like such a distinctive look were the lenses.
Mm-hmm.
In April of 2009, Britney was asking her mom if she could go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for spring break. I know. I've never been.
It's dirty.
She had wanted to go with her boyfriend and some of her, like, girlfriends. But her mom was like, fucking no. Like most moms do. Like, you're a kid. No, you're not going away with your boyfriend or your air quote friends.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom was just like, no. Like, I don't know the other teenagers that are going. There's no, like, adults of any kind going. And she also actually had mentioned, she had, like, this, really, her mom, that she had this really bad premonition that something bad happened. And she just did not want her to go. And she just was, like, not going to change her mind. So they were arguing, like, every single day, just back and forth constantly. And the mom was like, I can't. I have such a bad feeling about it. So Britney was like, okay, I gotta change tactics. Obviously, I'm not gonna get what I want this way. And here's the thing, like, this is not victim blaming. She's a kid trying to go on spring break. We deserve to be able to live a life where we can do some naughty shit, and like, it doesn't mean horrible fucking shit has to happen,
right?
Like, you know, it just sucks. This girl's just like, I'm gonna sneak away with my boyfriend and my friends. Like, everybody deserves to do that. It's fun. It's the point. Don't get pregnant. Wear condoms. So on April 22nd, at this point, Britney was like, hey mom, can I go to my friend's house for a day or two? Like, we've just been fighting so much. I just need, you know, some space, and I just need a minute to calm down. And her mom was like, yeah, okay. Like, her mom's not an unreasonable person. She wanted her to, you know, have some space, whatever. And that day Britney left, but to go to South Carolina without telling her mother. She was like, yeah, mom, bye-bye. I'm just going to go decompress for 2 days. She was like, ask for forgiveness, not permission. Dip, I'm out. And as she should have been able to do. But unfortunately, it did ultimately lead to a tragic situation. So about 3 days later, after she and her group had arrived at the Bar Harbor Hotel in Myrtle Beach, Britney called her mom once during the daytime and told her that she was at the beach. Her mom wasn't alarmed because she assumed that Britney was talking about the beach along Lake Ontario on the shoreline, not fucking the beach. So a trip, you know, where her mom was thinking was plausible given the temperature in Rochester at the time and it, whatever. So that night, this night that she tells her mom she's at the beach around 8 p.m., she left her friends at the Bar Harbor Hotel beachfront to walk about 1.5 miles south, down South Ocean Boulevard to visit a longtime friend who was staying at the Blue Water Resort. My question is, where's her boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm somewhere with Sean and I'm like, oh, I really want to visit this friend, he's like, cool, I'll go with you. And not in like a infiltrating way. When Maddie comes to town, Sean sleeps on the couch and like she would sleep in the bed. It's not like that. But like, I don't know. It's just weird to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, security cameras at the Blue Water Resort showed her arriving. She had a beige purse and was wearing a black and white tank top, flip-flops, and shorts. And the cameras also caught her leaving around 8:45 p.m. She was texting her boyfriend, John Greco, who had stayed in the Rochester area because of work commitments. Oh, I'm sorry, John. That was rude of me. Okay. They'd been texting back and forth, but around 9:15, her text just suddenly stopped. And that's when her boyfriend started calling her friends in Myrtle Beach to see if they knew where she was or, like, what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be, I did not realize her boyfriend wasn't there. I forgot because of weed. Mm-hmm. When all of his efforts, like, were not bringing anything to resolution, he called her mom. He was like, I gotta call Dawn. Who, as we mentioned, had not known that her daughter was in Myrtle Beach until that time. She called Chad and then the Rochester police, hoping that they could establish communications with their counterparts in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. All the while, everybody's texting and calling Brittany and nobody's responding. So, we have a missing person at this point. Nobody can get a hold of. Nobody really knows what's going on. So, into the investigation, the Myrtle Beach police began looking for Brittany the following morning. That's when they found the security camera footage from the Blue Water Resort and found the friends that she, like, had been visiting with. The last person who reported seeing her before she left was Peter Brozowitz, who was a 20-year-old nightclub promoter that Brittany had known from the Rochester area, and he was also vacationing in Myrtle Beach at the time. They met at a like local nightclub the night before. After police interviewed him and some other guys too that he was sharing some his hotel with, they said that no one has been ruled in or out, adding that they did not have any persons of interest. So they talked to him and they talked to everybody, and then they released no information and had nothing.
Great.
So they searched Brittany's hotel room, finding all the clothes she packed, but not her purse or cell phone. The phone's network pings were tracked on a path leading 50 to 60 miles south of Myrtle Beach in an area along U.S. Route 17. This was near the Georgetown-Charleston County line. The pings had stopped abruptly early on the morning of April 26th. Areas near there and around Myrtle Beach where a body might have been disposed of were searched for 11 days total. In 2011, police searched an apartment in Georgetown County, but unfortunately nothing came from it and no suspect was identified. Then Dawn and Brozowitz, which was the last guy to see her, Peter, they had a lot of confrontations on Dr. Phil. During that time, Peter expressed frustration at the damage to his reputation. Dawn, Brittany's mom, who had driven to Myrtle Beach the day after her daughter's disappearance, eventually relocated there permanently to be close to where Brittany had last been seen and better monitor the progress of the investigation, because she's a fucking mother and this poor woman. In a 2014 newspaper article on the case's fifth anniversary, she expressed a theory she had that Brittany had defied her to go to Myrtle Beach because she had been promised something of interest, such as like a modeling job or like something to lure her. She believed her daughter had been trafficked, but the Myrtle Beach police did not believe this. Was like a really strong possibility due to their claim of little or no trafficking taking place in their specific jurisdiction. A 2019 report conducted by the South Carolina Human Trafficking Task Force rated Horry County, where this took place, as the number one county in South Carolina for reported human trafficking victims. It's not funny, it's just that
Dirty Myrtle.
They named it as number one.
You know that one ex of mine? It's from Myrtle Beach.
What?
That one ex of mine.
Oh, he who should not be named? The other one?
Nasty.
All of our exes should just die. Literally, just...
No.
Like, energy-wise. Like, I want an energy severing. Like, take your shit back. Nobody wants it.
But, like, Myrtle Beach is fitting.
Yeah. I mean, yes. Sean and I have never been to Myrtle Beach, but he went a lot as a kid.
My grandparents lived there when I was younger. It's a very, like, either old folks town or, like, spring break
vibe. Oh, nothing in between? Mm-mm. I see. I mean, I'm old now, so. Yeah. Big 3-4.
Lots of retirement communities.
For a fact. Okay, so, where was I? Oh, yes. So, they lied. And no one shocked. So, in June 2016, the FBI held a news conference during which they stated that they believed that Brittany had been murdered shortly after her disappearance. She had been abducted from Myrtle Beach and taken to somewhere in the vicinity of Georgetown. near where the cell phone pings had ended before being killed there. The Bureau put up a $25,000 reward for information leading to the resolution of the case. About 2 months later, the Charleston Post and Courier reported new developments from a bond hearing for a person named Timothy Deshaun Taylor, who was an inmate then serving time in state prison on an unrelated charge. FBI agent Garrick Munoz testified that earlier that year, Taquan Brown, another South Carolina inmate who had begun serving a 25-year sentence for manslaughter, told them that in 2009, shortly after Brittany disappeared, he had gone to visit a McClellanville stash house to give money to Taylor's father. As he walked through the house, Brown told Munoz he saw Taylor sexually abusing Drexel with others present. He continued to the backyard where he found Sean had made his payment. As they talked, Brittany ran from the house and was soon recaptured. Brown said he saw Taylor pistol whip Brittany, then take her back inside. He then heard two gunshots, which he assumed were the sounds of the young woman being killed. Brown claims to have seen a rat body being removed from the house, then dumped in one of many alligator ponds in the area. Brown's statement to the investigators, according to Munoz, was partially corroborated by information received from another informant who was not identified but was described as having been incarcerated at the Georgetown County Jail at the time he had talked to authorities. And according to that second inmate, Taylor had picked up Brittany in Myrtle Beach and taken her to McClellanville, where he showed her off to his friends who tried to sell her to them for trafficking purposes. And then apparently when it drew heavy media attention, then they killed Brittany to avoid arrest. That's like the thought. So, I mean, honestly, it would be very frustrating as her mother to have waited years and then be like, you know what? I bet it's trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
So the bond hearing had been held after Taylor's arrest on a federal indictment for interfering in interstate commerce by threat or violence, a charge stemming from his role as the getaway driver in a 2011 robbery of a McDonald's mm-hmm. restaurant in Mount Pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Unusually, he had already been convicted for his involvement in the crime in state court and had been sentenced to probation, which he had finished by the time of the federal charges. Taylor's lawyer called the new charge a squeeze based on nothing more than the statement of two jailed informants. His mother called them craziness, since she believed that her son and husband could never commit such a crime. Winston Holiday. Sorry, there's so many names. You ever just feel like when you're like
looking
over your nose, there's like so much fucking names?
Yeah.
I just took two of the biggest gulps of my life, and I'm so sorry. Winston Holiday, the federal prosecutor at the hearing, admitted to the judge that the suspicions in the Drexel case were among the government's reasons for having brought the new charge for the conduct South Carolina had already sentenced Taylor for. I lost my place because I like was going cross-eyed. So, in response to questions, I got distracted, sorry. In response to questions of whether this amounted to Double Jeopardy, that's what I got distracted by because I love that movie. Double Jeopardy is essentially like you can't be tried for the same crime twice. Holiday cited a federal law that states that the federal government may bring charges for a crime if it believes that the state prosecution led to an unfair outcome. In this case, Holiday noted that the other two participants in the robbery had both been sentenced to prison, with the gunman who shot the restaurant's cashier twice serving a 25-year minimum term. Whew, thanks for sticking with me, guys. There's a lot of information because they like nobody really knew, and there's all these theories like coming up as to who could have done it, and all the theories make sense and work. Mm-hmm. So it's just really difficult. In June 2017, as part of his plea bargain negotiations, Taylor took a lie detector test. Some answers to the polygraph were labeled deceptive by the FBI. According to the federal government sentencing memorandum, the only possible knowledge of the case to which Taylor admitted involved having overheard part of an argument between two people over who had Drexel's cell phone, a discussion that he said had made him suspicious. But when Taylor was connected to the lie detector and asked whether he had seen Drexel after her disappearance or if he knew who was involved, the examiner determined he was not being truthful. Under the plea agreement, he would thus face at least 10 years in prison for his role in the 2011 robbery. After reviewing the results with Taylor's lawyer, the examiner attempted to continue, but Taylor was too angry to do so. The government's memo recommended the minimum sentence for him. So basically, he got retried, and then they were like, yeah, fuck off, you're going to prison. Yeah. Before the sentencing hearing was scheduled, Taylor was found to have violated the terms of his bail and was held in Charleston County Jail. In August, presiding federal district judge David C. Norton ordered Taylor's bail reinstated on the condition that he remain on house arrest until the U.S. Supreme Court decided the case of Gamble versus the United States, a constitutional challenge to the dual sovereignty doctrine, which allows separate state and federal prosecutions for the same criminal offense. The development pleased activists who had been attempting to draw national attention to what they considered to be a witch hunt, essentially saying, like, no, it is not okay. You cannot just continuously keep bringing the same person up for shit over and over and over. Sorry, guys, one second. My Do Not Disturb only lets certain people in, so I have to read it. Thank you for your patience. It was not important. So in June of 2019, the Supreme Court decided Gamble in favor of the government, upholding dual sovereignty and allowing the federal government to proceed with its case against Taylor. 6 months later, Norton sentenced Taylor to time served 319 days after a guilty plea forced by his similar disposition in state court. So essentially all this fucking drama for him not to do any of the time they wanted him to do. And then, spoiler alert, it wasn't fucking him. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. But also, these people are dumb. Like, stop running your mouth about shit. Like, if you didn't have any involvement, stop putting your business in there. Mind your business.
I know.
Just mind your fucking business, unless you actually know something. Anyway, so in 2019, in February, Brown gave a telephone interview to Rochester station WHEC-TV from McCormick Correctional Institution, where he was incarcerated. He said that he had actually seen Brittany four times after her disappearance. In addition to the first encounter, Brown said that he had seen her again a month later, and it was at this time that she was killed. Brown said that he saw Brittany being sexually assaulted by a group of 8 to 12 young men at the McLellandville Stash House on April 27th, 2 days after her disappearance. He did not recognize her at the time, but realized who she was a month later when publicity arose around surrounding her case. Brown's second encounter with Brittany came a few days later. And this was the event that he had described to the FBI with the gunshots inside the building and the body being carried up in a rug. Brown claimed this third encounter was 5 days later when he saw Brittany on a lightly traveled dirt road near his cousin's residence in Jacksonboro, which was 80 miles south of McLellanville. Brown claimed to have seen Brittany for the last time in late May, once again on his cousin's property while visiting with another friend. In a wooded area at the rear of the property, Brown claimed to have witnessed Brittany being murdered by a man whom Brown knew only as Nate, who shot her twice with a double-barreled shotgun. Brown and his friend left immediately, fearing being considered as accomplices if they had stayed behind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the news station was able to partially corroborate his account. His description of the McLellanville Stash House matched the station's own reporting from a 2016 visit. His account of the second visit, when he believed Brittany had been shot, but like wasn't killed, is consistent with his original story as told to the FBI. The station was not able to locate the friend that Brown said he had been there with, like visiting, that ran away with him. The cousin who owned the property where Brittany was reportedly killed is now dead. Another witness who Brown had named could not be found. Brown actually filed suit against Munoz, Holiday, and other federal officials whom he says had identified him publicly or played a role in doing so. By doing so, he alleges they gave him a reputation as a snitch and put his life in danger. Brown says that Taylor has offered a bounty to anyone who kills Brown that has that he has already been assaulted.
Oh.
And that he's already been assaulted. God, I can't talk. Okay, guys, here we are. We're at the end. You made it with me. You stuck through a lot of information, and I'm proud of you. So that, what was that, 2019 was the last, like, kind of, you know, anything. Well, in May, in the beginning of May of 2022, this year, just a few weeks ago, Raymond Moody, 62, a registered sex offender, turned himself in to the Georgetown County Sheriff's Office on the basis of an obstruction of justice charge. They had actually considered Moody a person of interest in the Brittany disappearance as early as 2012. He did ultimately confess to the crime on May 4th and provided a location of potential remains. The FBI excavated them over the next next 3 days, and by May 11th, human remains were located and were buried in the woods off of a gated private drive outside of Georgetown, about 4 feet into the ground. And they were confirmed through DNA and dental records to be Brittany Drexel. I know. On May 15th. The arrest warrant alleged she had been strangled and then buried by the morning of April 26, 2009, so a day after she went missing. Georgetown County Sheriff's Office, along with Drexel's family, made the information public the following day, May 16th, along with the announcement of Moody's arrest. Moody was arrested again and charged with murder, kidnapping, and first-degree criminal sexual misconduct, all alleged to have occurred on the day Brittany disappeared. The charges placed upon Moody are currently death penalty eligible. So here's my thoughts on this, because I do have thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I would not excuse anything a horrible person like that did, but I still appreciate a person who turns themselves in and at least gives a family closure. This woman uprooted her whole life to live near where her daughter went missing. It's tragic, it's horrible, and he's terrible, and what he did was terrible, but I greatly, greatly, greatly get satisfaction mm-hmm. when people get closure. Yeah. I think it is, like, so vile and hateful to just have to wonder, like, if your child is dead, alive, whatever, and if they suffered, and you're hearing stories over the years of, like, sex trafficking and sexual assaults and all these horrible things, mm-hmm. and it was horrible what happened to her, but, like, to go through years and years of, like, just the mental trauma of not knowing, I can't.
No.
So, I appreciate anybody turning themselves in and at least having a modicum, one cell of decency in your fucking body. Because, like, that came out of nowhere. That was it. Like, he just turned himself in. He was just like, okay, it's my time. That's all I have to say. I am honestly in need of a nap until tomorrow. So, a long sleep. A firm sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. She just wanted to have fun. And
I know. Hang out with her friends. How was the dab?
Strong?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sedating?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Night?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to go then. Long-term,
yes.
She's letting you know, like, she's down. She's down for the count. Okay, bye.
Bye.